The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
Seated, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. We're getting to the place where Moses is going to retire. Chapter 31. Moses was how old when he left the land of Egypt? 40, yeah, starting the ministry. And he really wasn't doing that. How many years did he spend in the wilderness with his father-in-law and his wife, Zipporah? 40 years. So he is now 80, and he's led the children of Israel for how many years? 40 years. So he's now 120. Now the scripture tells us that his eyes were not dim, nor his strength abated. He was just like he was at 40. Hello? Anybody can say that this morning? But Moses was. And the reason for it, God sustained him and maintained him. I don't plan to stay here until I was 120. Okay, now. And Moses went out, and spake these words unto all of Israel. He said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in also. The Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Said it's, I've got to the place now where it's not time for me to do that. I just cannot do that. The Lord doesn't want me to do that. Can anyone tell me why Moses did not go into the land of promise? Yes, he smote the rock and didn't speak to the rock. He smote the rock the first time. Is that right? And what happened when he smote the rock? Water came out. Yes, it was a symbol of the death of Christ. When Christ was smitten upon the cross, he poured out blood and water. Is that right? And now God said to Moses, now I want you to speak to the rock. Moses broke the type. He didn't follow the commands of God. He said, well, that's a very small thing. Let me tell you what. When you don't do what the Lord has asked you to do, there are consequences in not doing it. Somebody said to me one day, said, Pastor Gordon, can I as a Christian do that? And I said, I'm not going to make that choice for you. That's between you and the Lord. Well, I just don't feel like I probably should do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I said, if you don't feel like you should do it and you know that the Lord is speaking to your heart, guess what? Don't do it. And Moses, the reason he did, and he did not speak to the rock, but smote the rock, was what reason? Anger. Thank you, John. Yes, anger. You know, anger makes us do things that we wouldn't do otherwise. Is that right? And what we need to do is sometimes just step away from a situation for a moment and just to reflect upon it before we make a choice. I tell, every once in a while I get a phone call like this, Pastor Gordon, my wife has made me really mad. I'm ready to beat her up. I say, get out of the house and start walking. And so, how far do I need to walk? I said, you need to walk as far as you can until you want to go home because you love your wife. Well, man, it's a long walk. It's a long walk. And vice versa, right? Vice versa, ladies? Yes. Sometimes you get a little bit what? Angry. Don't tell me this business of, well, a little upset, baloney. Okay. Verse 3. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. It's now time for a what? A new leader. It's time for a new leader to come in. Say, Pastor, do you plan this with these passages? No, but I know who did. It's now time for a new leader. It's now time for a new person to step up. And you say, well, I'm not sure we're going to like Joshua, the children of Israel might say. I'm not sure we like some of the things in the way that Joshua does things. Let me tell you what, if it's God's man, it's the perfect man for the job. Okay, you got that? You hear my inference this morning? God has worked in the body of faith. He's spoken through the congregation and through prayer and through the pulpit committee, the recommendation of your pastor. Moses said, now, God has told me that Joshua should do the job now, and your job is done. And I want you to understand this, Moses. You did not obey me, and Joshua is the man who has been your right-hand man. He has been the man that you've worked with. I've worked with Christian Torres, as I told you, over 5 years. And I've worked with him, and I know his personality and his character. And so he said, I'm going to be with Joshua, and I'm going to help them to overcome. Notice verse number 4. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. Said he's going to work just as much through Joshua as he worked through you, Moses. Just like Moses dealt with the king of Og and dealt with these people who have been pagans and who are idolaters, he's going to work through him just as he worked through you. Verse number 5. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandment which I command you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Get into this position. He's talking to the children of Israel. The instructions are what? What are the instructions? Be strong. Get a hold of it. Understand that we move forward, not backwards. And have courage to know that the Lord is in charge. Be aware. And as you are doing so, fear not. Be not afraid of them. Don't be afraid of what's going to take place. It's going to be according to the Lord's will. If this is the Lord's church, then God is going to work. Amen? All right. For the Lord thy God will be thy God. And he it is that doth go with thee and will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Let me tell you what. God is here. The Lord is working. God is going to do his purpose. Say, well, I don't understand why God is doing it this way. It is not our place to question God's will or direction. Is that right? We don't do that. Verse number 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel. Now God is going to speak, and he's going to speak through his servant Moses. Moses says to the children of Israel, bring Joshua before the people of Israel. Let them see him. Now, they knew he was there. They had followed his instructions. Joshua was a very capable, able leader. He had watched Moses. How many years did he watch Moses? 40 years. I'll tell you what, after you follow someone for 40 years, do you know what they're like? If you don't, you're in trouble. Is that right? All right. And he says, before all the children of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with the people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. There's a great inheritance yet before. He said, now, I have chosen this leader to take you even further than what you've gone. We've done a lot of things here together, have we not? When you think of those who have been here and the way that this building was before and how God has allowed us to add the building next door and air condition, how many were here pre-air conditioning and heating? What a blessing it is it not? Okay, yeah, yeah. And the chairs, instead of those pews that were not fit for man, they're beast. Remember, how many remember the pews? God bless you, everyone. Your backside says thank you. Okay. Okay. Now, you see, God was good. Was not God good? Yeah, absolutely. You say, well, what are we going to go forward to do? Let me tell you what. We have more money now in the special improvement account, or not the improvement account, the remodel account, that is for the remodel for downstairs than we ever hoped to have. Isn't that wonderful? So someone said, the men said, well, are you going to handle that remodel downstairs? I said, we're going to let the new guy do that. He said, well, it won't be you doing it. Let me tell you what. God has a plan for his body, the church, as he had for the children of Israel. He has a plan for you. Don't despair. Be excited about what God is going to do and how he's going to do it. That's the excitement about the power of God. Verse number 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee and will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be depressed. Some people say, well, if your car's not here, we're not going to stop. Shame on you. Shame on you. You're not here for me. You're here for the Lord. If you're here not for the Lord, then you're in the wrong place. All right? Verse number 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when the Lord is come to appear before the Lord thy God in this place, which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. In other words, what is he saying? Let me tell you what. You need to be reminded at least once a year of the responsibility that you have before the Lord. You need to be reminded. Because you know what happens, ladies and gentlemen? We forget. You say, well, I don't forget much. Have you ever had your glasses and looking for them and forgot where you put them? And your wife will turn to you or your husband will turn to you and say, they're on your forehead. Or you go to do something, and when you go to do something, lo and behold, as you're doing it, you forgot what you were going to do. Even younger people forget that. Is that right? Right, Grace? Okay. So the point in part that I'm trying to make is we need to be reminded, and we need to be reminded that the Lord is the one who is still working in lives and hearts. He's still the one that's doing the job. Now, notice verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and the stranger that is in within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the works of this law. One of the reasons we have so many problems with the schools and with children and with society is because there's no fear of God nor man. This last Friday, somebody broke into our mailbox out front. I don't know what was in it. I just hope that they messed themselves up trying to get in. The point in part is God knows who they are, and they'll pay the penalty for doing that to the house of the Lord. People are not honest. I can remember when the church that I used to go to when I was a kid never locked their doors. It was open always, and you could go in and pray at any time. Anyone remember that? Anybody remember that? Yeah. If we left the doors open today, Lord have mercy. One day I was asked, I said, how come this cabinet's locked? I said, because people are here. And locks only keep out honest people anyway. But anyway, the circumstance and situation is this. It's because there's no fear of God. They're not reminded of what God can do and will do to those who are not obedient to him. Verse 13. And that thy children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it. Children need to be taught. From the day that our children were born, the first Sunday that they were born, they were in church. And I would say to you this morning that they need to be reminded. And we talk to our grandchildren about the Lord, and we sing little songs about the Lord. Now, the point in part is, if you don't do it, the world will teach them what they don't need to know. Verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, the days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourself in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And the Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Said, I want to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to go off the scene, and they're going to forget who you are and what the law said, and they're going to break the law of God. Dangerous situation. Then my anger, verse number 17, shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us because our God is what? Not among us. We will break the law of God. Let me tell you what. If you don't do anything, and I can't lay anything upon your heart this morning, I would say to you, serve the Lord. Honor him. Put him first in your life consistently. Verse number 18. And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore write ye the song for you and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. I'm going to teach you a song. How did you learn the alphabet? Remember the alphabet song? A, B, C, D, E, F. Remember that? Do y'all remember? How many remember that song? Oh, my goodness. And do you use the alphabet anymore? All the time. Let me tell you what. When you sing the songs of praise to God, and when you sing the great hymns, they will rekindle your faith and strengthen your life. Now, therefore, write ye this song. Verse number 20. For when I shall have taught them in the land which I swear unto their fathers that floweth with milk and honey, that they have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imaginations which they go about even now before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote the song, and the same day, and taught it to the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which were unto them. And I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of the law in a book until they were finished. Now, then that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take the book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. You know, we don't have an ark, but you know what we have up in front on the communion table? What is that? There's a Bible. Is it big enough for you to see? Yeah. That book, by its mere presence laying there, should remind you, this is the house of God. This is the place where the book is taught. This is the place where the book is used. This is the place where we need to identify and accept that situation. It is a circumstance, and we have the book laid on the communion table where we sit and remember what the Lord did for us. Is that right? So we have the book, and we have the table that is there to remind you that you are to be, as you're going to be a Christian in the house of God, you're going to be a servant of the Lord. And you'll take that. So take the book of the law and put it in the side of the ark. Verse number 27. For I know that the rebellion and the stiff-necked, behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? How much did they complain to Moses? And there was a group called? And what did they do? Complain. They murmured. They complained. We don't like this. We don't like the water. We don't like the food. We don't like this. We don't like that. In Moses, in Egypt, they were in slavery. And they were complaining now in their freedom. They asked for meat. God sent them quail. They had manna, angels' food. That's what it's called, angels' food. They called it manna because the word manna means, what is it? They ate what is it for 40 years and complained about it. Amazing. You know, I think, very frankly, and I told somebody this, I said, if Jesus was candidating for Riverside Baptist, there would be still people who would say they didn't want him to be here. Because even in Jesus' day, what did they do? They crucified him because they didn't like what he had to say. Amazing, isn't it? And as we look at this portion of God's word, Moses said, now, let me tell you what, I know what you're going to be like. As soon as the cat's away, the mice are going to play. Now straighten up. Okay? Some people may be thinking, well, Pastor Gordon's gone, and I can get away with this. Let me tell you what, can't get away from the Lord. Okay? All right. Verse number 28. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death, ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days because ye do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Don't blame anybody else. The reason these things have happened is because you have done it to what? Yourself. I have people tell me, well, you know, this has happened and this has happened and that's why I'm not serving the Lord. That's why I'm out of fellowship with God. Let me tell you what. The reason you're out of fellowship with God, anyone is out of fellowship with God, is because they've chosen to be. And they didn't want to do what God wanted them to do. I've had some people look at me and say, well, you know, every time I see you, I feel guilty. Well, the reason you feel guilty is because you're not doing what the Lord would have you to do, and you know it. Now straighten up. Say, man, That's true, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. I remember my oldest daughter, and we had received a gift for our wedding, and it was a couple of ceramic ducks, and she would not leave them alone. And one day we came into the living room. There she was standing with them both, and she dropped them both on the floor and broke them. Whose fault was it? And she didn't know what to do. Because we decided when we got married and had children, we weren't going to move anything. They were going to learn to live in the environment that they had been brought up in. Now listen, you have received the Word of God over the years. You know what its truth is. You know what you should be doing. You know how you should be doing it. Don't blame anybody else for what goes on in your life when you're not doing what the Lord has asked you to do. And when you know you're doing wrong, it's your responsibility to handle it between you and the Lord. Last verse. I've been preaching this morning, haven't I? Okay. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. I think it's important that we understand that we ought to serve the Lord. And all the encouragement in the world doesn't make any difference unless you do what God wants you to do.